following program is a collection of Stooges talking about the happenings in the automotive detailing industry. It is meant to be comedic and informative. The opinions expressed on the show do not necessarily reflect the beliefs of their peers, their boss, or their ad partners. There may be some cuss words because that's how grown-ups talk in the real world. If you are a young, please seek permission before watching or listening any further.
Welcome to the Detail Solutions Podcast. My name is Alex Russell and I'm your host. It's a Friday the 13th when we're recording this. I hope everybody has had a safe Friday the 13th. No Jasons, no Michael Myers, no Freddy's, none of that stuff got you. We're going to jump right into this. The website, detailsolutionspodcast.com. Listen, it's the greatest website in the detailing industry because it's ours. You know, you can find all the links on where to see us, where to listen to us. We have our wonderful vendors, our preferred vendors, our advertising sponsors. They're going to give you a discount so you can go and buy stuff from them. You give them money. They give us money. We give you the funny. Hashtag money, money, funny. And then we have the merch store, which if you guys have not, there's two people bought shirts so far. We have the new King 2023 tour t-shirt on sale now. So if you guys loved the Concaster shirt, we stepped it up with the Air Force or with the Kong Force One t-shirt. And now I think we've gone a step more with the King 2023 tour t-shirt. And that's the SEMA shirt. So if you're looking for it, that's where it's going to be. Go pick one up now. We made it easy, put it on the merch store so you can just buy it. So YouTube, if you want to watch these on YouTube, it's the Detail Solutions Podcast. That's our channel. Please go like, share, follow, subscribe, hit the notification button. So you can get all the, latest when we drop them. I'm a little behind. I think I'm two behind right now on uploading, but there's still plenty there. Jason just put a new one up today of a candid talk him and I had about vasectomies and spring break with Pauly Shore. So if you want to hear some funny banter about vasectomies and my spring break with Pauly Shore, go check that out. TikTok, we are 860 followers on TikTok. I need that 1,000 by the time we go to SEMA so that we can go live at SEMA. So go follow us on TikTok. It's the Detail Solutions Pod. Jason's been doing a pretty good job of putting up some reels, some clips, some shorts, whatever you want to call them, from the last some few episodes. And then MTE is back. I mean, it never really went anywhere, but our code is back. So if you plan on going to MTE in beautiful, sunny Orlando, Florida, February 1st through the 3rd in 2024, please use the code DSP15. It'll save you 15% on all your tickets. That includes the education day and just the expos. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, email us. Send us an email, detailsolutionspodcast@gmail.com. Hey, Alex, I want to be on the show. That's all it takes. It's as easy as that. I'll send you a message back saying, here's some dates. You pick what works for you, and we'll go from there. And lastly, please go like, share, follow, subscribe, hit the notification button anywhere that you are listening to this. Please leave us a 5-star review if you're listening on Apple. take a couple of seconds and actually write us a review. That would be great. On Spotify, you can just leave us a 5-star review. And if you haven't checked out Spotify lately, we do have the videos for these going up on Spotify. So we're that one step closer to the Joe Rogan Experience, where not only can you listen to it on Spotify, but you can also watch it. So my guest tonight is Portia Rose. Can't wait to hear her story. She's on vacation. Was nice enough to take time out to come on and talk to us. So we'll be right back after this commercial.
If you have not yet tried Oberg's new APS soap, now is your chance to receive 15% off by using coupon code DSP, all capital letters. Oberg's new all-purpose soap is perfect for all your exterior washing needs. This unique formula combines plant-based cleaning power that is effective and versatile. Whether you are mobile washing or maintaining a ceramic-coated vehicle, APS soap works quickly and rinses easily. This super concentrated formula can also be used on really tough bugs and is very effective in dirty door jams. To find out more, please visit oberkcarcare.com.
Attention detail shop owners, say goodbye to the hassle of multiple orders from all different suppliers. Car Supplies Warehouse is here to revolutionize your shopping experience. We have created a comprehensive online platform where you can find everything you need all in one place. We are constantly expanding our product range, adding new supplies, tools, and equipment. Our goal is to make Car Supplies Warehouse your ultimate one-stop shopping destination. And we don't just stop at providing top quality products. We understand that knowledge is crucial for running a successful business. This is why we offer over 100 online videos specifically tailored to educate and empower businesses like yours. So grow your skills and run a successful business with our online training courses. We take our commitment to education even further by providing in-person training classes. Our expert instructors will guide you through hands-on sessions, sharing their wealth of knowledge and helping you take your shop to new heights. We also have an awesome discount program that ties everything together really nice. Enjoy exclusive benefits and saving as a Car Supplies Warehouse member. Join DetailWise Pro under the Save and Learn tab on our website, carsupplieswarehouse.com, and experience the advantages firsthand. And for a limited time only, we are offering a special deal just for Detail Solutions podcast listeners. Sign up for DetailWise Pro using code PRO30, and you're going to enjoy 30 days of free access and free discounts. There's no obligation. You can cancel anytime. So come discover what you've been missing.
All right, and we're back with Portia. How you doing?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. Thank you for taking time out of your vacation to do this.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So we're going to jump right into it. I want to know, what's the where, when, how, why did you get into detailing?
I guess I consider myself a little bit detailing adjacent.
Okay.
I now do coatings and things that are along that line, that are along more of the line of detailing. My main business that I've been doing for a long time now is like touch up, scratch removal, and stuff like that for dealerships. Okay. So I'm like the step after the detail, like it goes through the detail bed, the detail shop, and then it comes to me and I get it front line ready type of a thing. So anyways, I just opened. I just got a new shop. I just barely got the keys to it, so I don't have it open yet. But I've been doing ceramic coatings and stuff like that as well. So, and paint correction and stuff. But anyhow, going backwards, I loved cars ever since I was a little kid. I've always been a car freak. And there's like pictures of me from when I was little sitting underneath the hood of my dad's 69 Nova with him sitting next to me, like working on it. And I'm just fully hands in the grease, like grease all over my face, just like wanting to be a part of whatever's going on with the cars. And my family is not from here, my birth family. And I was born into a family of organized crime.
Oh, wow.
And so my birth dad, my dad, he had a shop the shop was actually like a front for other businesses going on in the background, we'll just say. Some illegal things may or may not have been going on in the background.
Right, right. Yeah.
And I was just a kid, but I would go to the shop with him, and we always were working on cars. I mean, we were just, you know, it wasn't an actual business, but we had cars in there just chopping them up and doing all kind of fun things. One of the things that I remember working on with him was, it was the rear end of a C10 and the front end of a Studebaker. And we were putting it together as a show truck. And anyway, he taught me how to paint. So he taught me on that truck. He had, I don't know if yellow was his favorite color or what, but he had a big lifted yellow truck, and we were painting this show truck yellow as well. It turned out sick. Like, it sounds weird, but it turned out really sick. But anyway, so he taught me how to paint and then also how to airbrush.
Okay.
So I did that. I did painting, like custom paint jobs and like pinstriping and airbrushing and stuff all through my teenage years.
Wow.
And then when I was younger, I was in and out of foster care and stuff. And so at the age of almost 15, I ended up getting shipped to a residential center for girls. And so I was in that residential center for like a year. And when I came out, I went into my final foster home that was like a super religious foster home. And so they were of the mind, like, I shouldn't have anything to do with cars. That's not feminine enough. That's not using my brain, you know. So they made my focus go into like religion, getting married, and college. So I went and did that. I still painted on the side, but mostly just for myself. And then going to college, I was paying for my own college. So I did custom paint jobs. Basically, at night, I would do work night hours, and I would go in and paint at a local body shop there in Cedar City. Okay. I was going to Southern Utah University. And so anyhow, I was doing that and putting myself through college. I went into the medical field and was just painting a little bit here and there on the side. In Utah, it's not that big of a scene as far as people paying for what it's worth for custom paint jobs and stuff.
Right.
Everybody wants to do it themselves, like in their garage or whatever.
Yeah.
So I didn't have a whole lot going on that way. You know, it was really slow. And then stayed in the medical field, was barely getting by. I had a life crisis and picked up and moved to Texas. And there was a whole lot more work there as far as paint goes. So I was doing a lot more paint. Then I got sick. And while I was sick, I ended up losing my job, was homeless and living in my car, and ended up moving to Oregon. I moved in with my birth mom, who basically told me that I couldn't leave until we figured out what was wrong with me. So figured out that I had gastrointestinal stromal tumors. And so I had treatment there. And then at that point, my ex-husband was with my four children in Utah. So I moved back to Utah and had a friend that had recently broke his leg and was doing the business of, you know, doing the touch-up paint and scratch removal for the dealerships. And since he broke his leg, he was about to lose all of his accounts, told me he needed help. So I said, I haven't done, you know, touch-up paint, but I've done paint jobs, and I hadn't really done scratch removal, but I fixed my runs, and then, you know, right. I knew how to buff, so I just hopped right in, started doing that, and ended up just, I took off. So I basically, let's see, that was in 2015 that I started doing that with him. And then by 2018, I had doubled the services that he offered and started doing all my own. in 2020 went out on my own and started also Oletsy in 2019, I guess, during COVID when we were all locked down.
Yeah.
The dealerships went to like vendor freeze. They were like, we can't do any work, but they would give us enough work just to, you know, keep us barely surviving.
Yeah.
And so I decided during that time, since I had so much downtime, that I would learn how to do ceramic coatings and stuff. So I bought a whole bunch of like off Amazon ceramic coatings just to check them out and see what they did and stuff. I was like, okay, this is a real thing, you know? So ended up hopping on a ceramic pro because they have the most marketing in the business. So yeah, they were the ones that
you can't, you know, for all the hate that ceramic pro gets in the industry, the one thing that I always say is I don't know that the ceramic part of the industry would maybe be where it's at if it wasn't for ceramic pro,
because
all the marketing that they did to get people to know what ceramic coating was and to ask for it. You know, and at that point, you know, clients or customers, they're not really, they don't pay attention to the name, right? They just go, oh, it's ceramic, right? Because it's got ceramic in the name. So they just call up, you know, like, do you do ceramic coatings? And you're like, yeah. And they're like, I've seen this, you know, so it doesn't matter what brand, you know, that you're using or whatever. But yeah, you're right there. They definitely had all the marketing for it.
Yep. So I hopped on with them, started doing ceramic coatings. And when I started doing the ceramic coatings, I saw what the ceramic did, but then I was like, okay, this is requiring a lot more focus in the paint correction and not just a scratch removal. And so, because I was doing scratch removal at a dealership, I had learned on a rotary, you know, just a super strong DeWalt, just barely holding me. That I learned to do. So I still, like, for the most part, I still use rotary to do my, because it's what I'm used to. I have like the Mach 3. Is it the Mach 3? No, Mach 2.
Okay. The Rupes Mach 2.
The Rupes. Yeah. Yep. That. And then I recently got the Orbital, is it Orbital that Milwaukee came out with? Cause I like my stuff to be cordless.
Okay. Yep.
So that one doesn't have quite as much power, but I'll use it to do light correction after I use the rotary to do anything heavy.
Yeah. That's the one thing I've heard is with all the, and I know they're kind of getting better. I know when we talk with, Chris Metcalf at Flex, cause they've got a lot of the cordless stuff. They're working on more power, but you know, obviously it's, I mean, even I think Jason Rose was saying what, you know, with the Rupes stuff, that's cordless, is that it's not as torquey as, you know, the electric stuff, although it's getting there. They're starting to be able to make the batteries, you know, a little bit stronger and stuff for that power. But yeah, I've heard that those Milwaukees are good for, you know, definitely finishing down, polishing and stuff like that after you've, you know, hit it heavy with either rotary or a good DA.
Yeah. Yeah. I have the Milwaukee lawnmower and everything. So I already had, was kind of set up with Milwaukee stuff. And the first cordless buffer I got was the Milwaukee. So it was kind of like, okay, from that point on, I just stuck with that. Yeah. I did get the little mini nano that Rupes has, the little,
the little hybrid. Yeah.
Yeah, so I got that little guy, and he has, you can either do battery or plug-in.
Right, yeah.
And I've just found it's like, I may as well not even mess with the battery unless it's an area that I really need to be able to get to and I'm having extension cord issues.
Right, exactly.
So I just mostly keep her plugged in, but I find that to be pretty useful just for you know, doing small scratch areas where I don't want to buff a huge area to get that scratch out.
Yeah.
So, and because in the dealership world, I'm aggressively moving scratches and I want to just do them as quickly as possible. Right. I'm like consistently sanding with 2000 and then rotary buffing those out, you know? So in the world where I'm doing a whole lot less of that really aggressive correction, that little nano really helps just, you know, focus down on one little spot.
Yeah. And I've not, I mean, I'm a big Rupes guy. Everybody kind of knows that. And I was never a huge fan of the hybrid. I mean, for me, it just did what it did. But where I got impressed, and pay attention, everybody listening, because I'm going to say something that you guys might not believe. I had a girl who came to me with a TRX that her boyfriend had drove her truck and ran over some paint and decided to take a Brillo pad to get the paint off. So most of the paint was on the rocker. Okay, here's where you need to listen, on the rockers. And because she had those like grippy step sides, I couldn't get a rotary or my Bigfoot there. All I could get to it was with the hybrid. So I put a Lake Country microfiber pad on it and some Meguiar's 101. And just cut and cut and cut and cut and cut. Because, I mean, you know, the machine's not really that powerful. And these were Brillo pad scratches. But, you know, at the end of, I mean, it probably took me, God, it probably took me 2 hours to do that whole, like, rocker panel section. Again, I said rocker panel section. to get them out. And then eventually one paint correction of the month and paint assassins for doing rocker panels. It's listening. So yeah, I mean, it is a cool little machine. I've never been a huge fan out of it, but that one time I was like, okay, you get to stick around for a little bit longer. You know, you did some good work today, little buddy.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. So I started doing the dealership world, and you know, that whole thing just blew up for me really big too. So nice. I went in after COVID hit, and I split from my old business partner. We partnered up when he broke his leg, and we split in 2020. In 2021, I did by myself the same amount that he and I were doing as far as billing, billing out. And then in 2022, I doubled that. And for 2023, I am on pace to double that again.
Oh, wow. Congrats.
So, yeah. So I ventured into opening this shop so that I can do a whole lot more and offer all these other services that I'm planning on. So I want to do window tint, you know, wraps, all of this stuff that kind of goes along with. But I want to start out only offering window tint, ceramic. I also do another, it's a clear coat revival and the you know, paint correction and those types of things to begin with, and then branch out.
So with the dealership stuff, are you like actually going to the dealership and they have, you know, like, hey, we've got these, you know, however many cars for you to do today and you're just knocking them out, or are they bringing them to you at the shop and then you're doing them at the shop?
So right now I have a Duramax and I pull behind it a trailer.
Okay.
That's like a 6x12, and I have a full paint mix system in there, and it's all lacquer based paint. So, you know, I have all of that, and then all of my other tools and compounds and polishes and all of that. So I pull that up on their lot. I walk their used inventory, give them a list of stuff that needs to be done. Then okay. I just line them up and knock them out. So I'm like, you know, usually each day I'm like 15 to 25 cars, sometimes more, just banging them out.
Yeah. No, the reason why I asked is because I've got a buddy who, he does like spot repair stuff for the dealerships.
Yeah.
So, and he's been doing it for years. I mean, he's a really good painter, but he realized he could make more money doing that than exactly. Like the hassle of having a body shop and everything.
Yep.
So what he does is he goes to like a different dealership every day here in Orlando. Same. And usually what he does is he doesn't walk the lot or anything, but usually they'll have, you know, whatever cars, if it's stuff they're pulling off the lot, or, you know, somebody calls the dealership up and is like, hey, I got a scratch on my car. And they're like, yeah, come on down. We'll charge you $300. And he's charging the dealership like $150 or something.
Exactly.
You know? But he gets there and they've, you know, he's got, you know, 2, 3, 4, 6, whatever, you know, cars to do. And actually, one of the dealerships he does down here is the Harley Davidson dealership.
Oh, nice.
One of the big ones in Orlando. So he goes there once a week and does touch-ups on bikes and things like that. So that's why I was asking, like, if you went to the dealerships and they had stuff lined up for you or what, because he's the only person that I have, like, knowledge of, yeah, of that type of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, exposure to it.
Yeah, exactly.
So living in Utah, we have, and especially because I live in northern Utah, uh-huh, so we there's a big chunk of the year that the weather's awful.
Right.
So, and the wind does not stop. So yeah. I have like a pop-up trailer that I can put up behind my, or a pop-up tent that I can put up behind my trailer.
Right.
But I'll tell you, there's been twice now that the wind picked up when it wasn't supposed to be windy. And I was literally hanging on to the legs of it. And the thing has popped up over my trailer, like trying to blow the other way. And I'm just hanging on to the legs. I had a bungee cord that I stuck into my belt and I'm just hanging on. People are looking at me like, what?
Yeah.
But if that thing would have taken off and hit a bunch of cars, man.
Yeah. Oh, freebie work.
A lot of free work for a long time. Yeah. So now having the shop space, I will be able to during the winter time, especially on bad days, and especially when they have customer cars that have been scheduled for me that really need to get done, I'll be able to take those to the shop to be able to do them.
Yes.
So I will definitely integrate having that shop space during the winter time into this part of my business as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, it will definitely be helpful for winter. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. 'Cause yeah, I mean, you know, that's, like I was on the Dean's Den podcast last night, and Dean's up in Canada, you know, and we were talking about, you know, how, you know, he has to squirrel away his money during the summer because, you know, obviously can't do much in the winter in Canada. And, you know, and yeah, I'm just like, yep, down here in Florida, like, yeah, we don't ever close, you know.
Like, yep.
It stays open all the time down here. We don't, I mean, if a customer will bring, I've had a customer bring me their car and done work during a hurricane down here because my shop is an older built storage unit, like warehouse community. So all the walls are cinder block.
Yeah.
And the roof is like 3 foot thick concrete beams, you know, so it's not like these chintzy ones that's like, you know, framed out and then they just put some aluminum on them, you know, with a roll-up door, you know, kind of thing. Like this one is legit like a bunker. And I had a coding booked, and we were gonna have, I mean, it was gonna be like tropical storm cat one, like maybe by the time, or I think at cat one when it hit, it was gonna be tropical storm by the time it got to us, because we're central Florida, but we're closer to the East Coast than the West Coast. And it was going to come up like through Tampa or whatever. And I told the client, I was like, look, man, like it's, you know, it's just going to be a lot of heavy rain and some wind. Like I'll just pull the door down if you still want to do it. And he goes, I mean, as long as you're okay, you know, driving, you know, in a hurricane, I'm like, man, it's like 4 miles from my house. Like, yeah, let's do it. So like, you know, he dropped it off before the hurricane hit. I mean, I went in and just pulled the door down and you just hear the wind and rain and everything beating on it. But I'm in there with my headphones on and I'm polishing paint. You know, didn't slow me down one bit, you know. Hurricane left out. Next day was beautiful, sunny, got it coated, was able to pull it out, get sun shots, you know, like.
Yeah. No. Using that time right.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not stopping for nothing.
Yeah, it slows that. The weather here slows everything down because, especially if we're doing work outside, so like I can bundle up, but those panels are cold, you know.
Yeah.
So if I'm getting it,
it's not going to stick to it. Yeah.
Yep. It's like you got to go slow to remove every scratch because you heat it up too fast, you're going to burn right through. And so, yeah, it slows everything down if we're able to even do it. And I have the paint scale in my trailer. So if my trailer's swaying back and forth, it's throwing my paint scale off, and I'm just, at that point, I just throw in the towel. I'm like, let's go to the bar. Yeah. This day is over.
Exactly.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Well, listen, let's do our first commercial break, and then we'll come back, and I've got a question for you. Let's see how you answer it. So we'll be right back.
All right.
Tell us about your little wheelie journey you had yesterday. How'd that go on the Viper chair?
I stole this Viper chair. A lot of people hadn't played with one, so I quite like the fact that they got a shot.
Nice.
A lot of guys were generally trying out, going, huh, these things are cool. But it was good fun, especially on this floor. Like, this is a legit carpet, and all the cables, it just
rolls right over.
Get in its stride. Yeah, well done. It's a cool chair. I like it.
How comfortable are you right now?
Very.
Yeah. So do you think retailers should invest in a Viper chair?
You know what? My name's Alan Medcraft. And I would say go buy Viper.
Make sure to go to viperindustrial.com and at checkout, use the code DSP to save an additional $25 off your purchase. That's a stackable coupon, so whatever Viper's giving you off, get another $25 as well.
Do you own a detailing business but want to improve your success online? Or are you just starting out but not even sure where to begin? Let Detailers Roadmap guide you down the road to success. Detailers Roadmap is an all-in-one web solution for your auto detailing business. A custom website designed to help you attract and retain customers without breaking the bank. We'll write and design your website from start to finish and provide ongoing support to ensure it's working great for you. Our custom website packages include everything you need to succeed online. And with our local SEO services, we'll make sure your business gets noticed by customers in your area. So why wait? It's time to take your auto detailing business to the next level with an all-in-one website solution from Detailers Roadmap. Visit detailersroadmap.com to get started today.
Okay, so as a painter, I want to ask you your thoughts on ceramic coatings when you have to do a touch-up after the car's been coated. Do you find that harder because it's ceramic coated? And the reason why I ask is because I had a client who told me that he, I guess, you know, had a fender bender or something like that, and took the car to the body shop, and he told the painter, like, look, it's got a ceramic coating on it. And the guy got kind of like pissed because he knew it was not going to come off easy or be an easy sand down job or whatever. So I'm curious, because I don't get to talk to a lot of painters about it. So I'm curious your take on that.
Yeah, you know what? At first, that was the one thing that made me kind of hesitate about ceramic coatings too. And they make it sound a lot worse than it is.
Yeah.
Because if you don't know that there's a ceramic coating on it and you go to paint it, you're going to waste a whole bunch of materials. And if you do, so I use Standox, which isn't a super expensive paint. So if I went to go and paint something and I didn't know, then, you know, I would be pissed after wasting so much materials and trying to figure out what was wrong. If the customer tells you that that is on the paint, all you have to do is make sure that you clear that entire area, decontaminate that entire area, and sand it down. It doesn't make sanding it down any harder than what it would have been.
Gotcha.
You just have to be more aware. But the thing is with painting, and especially nowadays where there's all kinds of shit people put on their car, all kinds of stuff that people are putting on their car all the time.
Yeah.
So going in right off the bat, you're kind of slow, kind of naive, kind of miss the boat if you're not checking, you know, and you're not asking the customer those questions, or you're not already, if they don't know, you're not already making those adjustments. When it comes to touch up, it's a little bit different. If there's chips on the car that were there before the ceramic coat was put on, and then the customer wants you to touch up over it, that's kind of crappy, because either the touch up paint is not going to stay on, or it's still going to look like crap because it can't really go down into the chip the way that it normally would and right. attach to that metal. That chemical bonding doesn't happen down there where you want it to. And so it's going to look kind of like, you know, crappy. I wouldn't want to put touch-up paint over a ceramic coating. Like, most of the time I will say no, just because then it's going to have my name on it and look like that.
Right.
So I'll tell a customer, if you want to wait until, you know, this ceramic coating is going to be whatever, you know, whether you're going to redo it, whatever, fine. If you want to, you know, remove this area, I wouldn't recommend it. I would say keep the ceramic coating on it until the life of it starts to expire, then address it. But most of the time I definitely say do the touch up first, and you know, I put clear and hardener in with my touch up paint. So the ceramic coating is not going to affect it once it's cured. So I'm like, let's touch it up. Once you put that ceramic coating over it, as long as the touch up was done well, then, you know, it's going to look great. Yeah. So that it just makes more sense to go ahead and do that first than trying to do it after. Now, if the chip was, if they got the chip after they put the coating on it, you can do touch up just fine because that area is
right. Yeah, no coating on it. So
yeah. And I'm working on and developing a little touch up pen. It's the base of a Pache flow pencil, not the little gold flow pencil.
Yeah.
But an old school one. It's a single action gravity fed, but with no air.
Okay.
It looks just like an airbrush, but with no air.
Okay.
And so I'm working on getting that mass produced, but I've kind of taken pieces from the touch up, flow pencil and an airbrush and kind of fashioned them together. I still want to make a few adjustments to the reservoir that holds the touch up paint. But the nibs that go on the top, it's basically the same as an airbrush tip, only it's one needle that goes, you know, to plug that tip.
Right.
And they have all different sizes. So using that, you can get just beautiful, precise touch-up paint that just goes directly in, no matter how small the chip is, unless it's so small that you're not going to see it anyway.
Yeah.
You can get it right in there. And then it doesn't, you know, it doesn't come outside of that chip at all. So it looks really good in comparison to just, you know, blobbing on a touch of paint with those, you know, blobby dabbers.
That's my thing is I am not good at touch up paint. So when somebody asks me, I'm like, I'll do it for you, but it's not going to look any better than if you did it. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, like the only thing that I know that's a little bit different, And I probably should get one of those pens, but again, like I don't do it enough to like, and I know they're not expensive, so like I could just have it laying around. But the one thing that I learned years ago, before I knew about the little pens or whatever, was like using a Q-tip or like a match head, because then you don't get a brush lines or you don't really get that glob kind of deal. So. Or I guess they even have those little paint sticks now, like the little microfiber tips on them or whatever. So like sometimes I'll use those as well versus the actual like pen, because the pen's a pain in the ass. You put the little thing down and nothing comes out, and all of a sudden it's like, you know, you got a glob and you're like, God doing it, you know.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I like about these little pins is you have a little trigger so you can control the amount of paint that's going in when you pull the trigger. And it makes it so that literally like a teenager, a kid.
Right, yeah.
I have my kids work for me during their summers. They earn mega cash during the summer. Cheap
is what they earn, right?
That's right. They're expensive, man. I'll tell you what. I got four teenagers.
I got one, and I can't imagine any more than her.
Yeah. Well, that's the key word you said right there is her.
Yeah. Because every time I turn around, she's got her hand out. Daddy.
I know. And how can daddies say no to their cute little girls?
You know, and that's the bad part, because now she's like really trying to guilt trip me with the whole, because, you know, she's 14 now. So, so now it's like, you know, when I say no, then her reply is, you know, I'm not going to be your little girl for much longer, you know, and I'm not going to be around. I'll be off at college. Shoot. You know, and the first couple of times I was like, God damn it, kid. So now though, being who I am and knowing that she's giving me shit, so I'm going to give her the shit right back to her. So now I'm like, well, you're right. You aren't going to be around very long. And then I'm not going to be there with you. So you need to start learning how to do it yourself.
Ooh, there you go.
She doesn't like that. She does not like that at all.
Watch her back up real quick. Yeah. Oops. Yeah. Hang on. Let me think.
But I always end up crumbling and doing it for her anyway. So.
Yeah. I know. They know. They have our weak spots and they get us all tied up.
Yeah. And she definitely, I mean, she's listened. from the minute she popped out, she had me wrapped, and she definitely knows it 14 years later. So
yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
I have them work for me, and I keep hoping that one of them's gonna like want to really, you know, match dive into it. Yeah. But it's like the more I try and like influence it, the more they're like, nah, you know. Yeah. But I did get my 16-year-old son. He's been working for me since he was like 9. I've always paid him really well. So it's at least that is like enough motivation for them to keep doing it.
Right. Yeah.
But this year he's going to do the fishing tournament, the bass fishing tournament.
Oh yeah, that's right. You did sign up with that with Randy, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So nice. He's going to do that with me, and then I'm going to take him to MTE. And I didn't know about like any of this, like, you know, detailer stuff before. I just always, I was in the painter world. And so I never, and so after our businesses split, my partner and I businesses split, and I was looking for people to hire, I started just trying to find different, like, you know, groups and stuff. And so I kind of started finding all these detailer groups, and I was like, even though it's not exactly what I do, it overlaps enough that I can find people, maybe I can find people to hire, or, you know, people who are interested. And then when I started seeing like the MTE and all of that stuff, I'm like, oh man, there's a whole world here that I didn't even know about. And I love it. I love it. I was like, okay, this is what we're talking about.
So this will be your first MTE?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to love it.
Yeah. I'm pretty stoked.
MTE has a special place in my heart. I love that show so much. It's just, it's a good time, you know. It's great for networking because it's not as crazy as SEMA. You know, you actually have time to, you know, kind of sit with everybody and get to know people. You know, they more time for them to talk to you at the booths and things like that. So yeah, you'll love it. You'll love it. It's a good time. Just don't bring any of that cold
that's
weather.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah. Yeah. Just don't bring any of that cold weather down with you, because it seems like everybody does. Everybody's like, oh, we're going to sunny. It'll be sunny. It'll be nice and warm like the whole week leading up to. And then everybody's like, we're heading down to sunny Orlando. And then you get here and it's like freezing for us, you know? I mean,
I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to post anything, because I've noticed. So I'm a football fan. And if I post something about the football game that's going on, then they lose every time. Yeah. I'm like, I'm not going to say anything about going somewhere sunny. I don't say stuff about my football team anymore. I learned to keep this big old mouth shut and keep the fingers crossed. And then afterwards, then I'll talk about it.
Yeah. No, it's usually always kind of nice weather for MTE, which is good. But I think, not this year. It might have been last year, or maybe the year before. Well, yeah, it might have been one of the last 2 years. I mean, it was cold, and it was overcast the whole time. So it's not even like it was cold and the sun was out, you know, where you could like, you know, throw on some shorts and a hoodie and be okay. I mean, it was funny, because I remember I was running from the parking lot to the building, and I didn't want to, like, because I knew it was going to be comfortable in the building, so I didn't want to put on pants, I didn't want to put on a big old hoodie and all that stuff. So like, I'm t-shirt and shorts, and I'm like running into the building, and somebody stopped me, and they're like, you must be from up north. And I'm like, no, but once I get in there, it's going to be warm, and I don't want to get carrying around a bunch of clothes. So.
yep, exactly. As soon as you get in, you start sweating.
Yeah, pretty much, because it's always nice inside the venue. But yeah, it'll be really cool for you. It'll be interesting. I'm glad that you got on the boat with Randy, because I know he was looking for some detailers, and you know, he just doesn't have a big reach in the detail world. So that's why we tried to have him on. And so I'm glad that at least our episode helped him with, you know, two people, you know.
Yeah.
Hopefully some of the businesses or some of the brands will see it, and hopefully we'll get some detail boats next year for it. It'd be pretty cool. So,
Yeah, I thought that was awesome. I was hoping, so my little brother lives in Australia. So I have one little brother who's much, much younger than me, and he moved to Australia with his wife. And he's been, because of the way that we grew up there, we both kind of were like aimless. And so he's been kind of just trying to find his way in the world. And I told him, hey, come here. I'm going to teach you everything that I do. I work right next to a dent guy. I'm going to pay him to teach my little brother the dents. And then I'm going to go back over there with my little brother and help him get set up in Australia to start his own business so that he can provide for his family. Cause they've got, oh man, they've got babies. They've got, you know, they have twins and then like twin babies, then a 3-year-old and a 7-year-old. So I'm like, you guys need some stability here. So
You know, we do have friends of the podcast in Australia. So depending on where he is, we might be able to.
Oh, no doubt.
Maybe, maybe be able to at least get him some contacts or something.
Connections. Like
that where, yeah.
That would be awesome.
I don't know much about Australia, but I mean, we've got the two Cams are down there. Dale Guthrie, who does the Detailing Down Under podcast, is there. Maddie Gibb, he doesn't really detail as much anymore, but he's still there. And then there's, I think it's called Steve's Auto Group down there. I've been trying to get those guys on there. And then we had another Australian guy on the podcast. I can't remember his name. I'm so bad with remembering. We've done so many of these now that like it's hard to remember who's been on, who hasn't been on. It might be something that, you know, we might be able to do a reach out, find out where he is, and then find out where all these guys are and see if anybody's near enough by that maybe they'd be willing to mentor or, you know, point in the right direction or something like that.
I'd totally
be happy to try and do that for you. If anybody who I just mentioned is listening to this and you know, maybe wants to reach out to Portia, go ahead and do that. I don't want to be a middleman if I don't have to. So
no, that would be awesome.
Yeah, no, that'd be cool.
So I was hoping that he was going to be here during the time of the fishing trip so that he could go with me, especially since he's going to be doing dents and they're giving away like a bunch of dent tools and stuff.
Yeah.
So I had originally talked to him about that, but my little brother's coming this month and he will be long gone by February. Thought I was going to have to say no. And then I thought, well, why haven't I asked my son? Cause that's one of our very favorite things to do together is fishing.
Oh, cool.
And so, yeah. So I asked him, I like texted him. I don't know. I was upstairs and he was downstairs and I'm lazy. So I like texted him. And before I even like, I sent the first message about the Bass Fishing Tournament. And before I even finished it, he like types back in huge letters like, yes. I was like, okay. Nice. So
yeah, I was going to ask you, do you guys do any fishing? So that's awesome that you guys do. So you won't be out there like not knowing.
I've been fishing since I was little. That was one of the things that I learned how to do when I was a little girl. And I was always so proud of myself putting the worm on my own hooks and baiting my own stuff. And we used to fish catfish in California. And then here in Utah, we do a ton of trout fishing and stuff, but I've never caught a bass. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
I have tried. So I'm like, I'm gonna get on one of these boats and have these professionals show me how to do this.
Yeah, I need to try to be able to do it next year and take Haley with me because, I mean, we always go, there's a little neighborhood across from us and they've got like a pond out for, or yeah, it's pretty much a pond. Mostly it's like little bluegills and brim and those, what a tapias or I think whatever the little small, like they're all kind of the same fish or whatever. And I mean, ever since she was like, God, like 4 maybe, she always wants to go fishing there. We haven't done it much lately, but we, because they're such small fish, it's always like, you know, bread balls is what we're using or like the little like fish bait, you know, put on a small hook. But there are a couple of bass in that and you know they don't necessarily really come up for the bread, but every now and then they kind of will, and she sees them. She's had them on hooks a couple of times, but because we're using smaller hooks for the smaller fish, they come off. And she's always like, I just want to catch that bass. You know?
Yep.
I might have to, you know, for next year, arrange my schedule to be able to be on a boat and maybe take her and
totally
and at least let her, you know, finally hopefully catch a bass.
that's exactly how my bass fever started too, is I caught a trout, and as I'm reeling this trout in, this big old bass comes up and hits my trout, breaks it in two. Oh, and I was like, what? And the thing was huge. I'm like, that's the fish I want to catch. Yeah. So every trout I caught after that, I'm sitting down there like trying to reel it along, like, come on, buddy. He didn't come back up. But then every time I went to that spot, I tried to catch that bass. And I moved on to trying to use jigs and stuff, because that's what they use out here for them. And I cannot fish with a jig to save my life. It's like, you know, three casts and my jig is at the bottom of the lake. And I'm like, try again. Like, no good. Yeah,
with bass, you gotta have that technique of like reel and jerk and reel and jerk,
yeah,
reel and jerk, so that you keep it kind of, you know, popping across the top of the water or whatever.
Yeah.
So,
and instead I'm like reeling. I'm like, oh!
yeah exactly.
What again?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, especially when we do bread balls and a little bait, I mean, my daughter's just watching the bobber, you know, she watches it bob and then it goes under and I'm like set the hook before it swallows it, you know. Like, she waits for it to go like all the way underwater before she like,
oh man,
like that is, you know, once you feel it hitting, you gotta set it and go.
Yeah, man, after doing that bobber fishing where you gotta really hurry and set that hook, then you go to spinner fishing on a trout, you know, and you really don't need to pull that hard. If you pull that hard, you're pulling the outskirts of the mouth right off that bait. So that took me a while too to adjust. Every time I got a hit, I'm like, calm it down. Yeah, there's the all different techniques, but I'll tell you that fighting that bass is what really makes me want to get them, because they're so much better of a fight.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, she keeps telling me she wants to go deep sea fishing.
That's my girl.
And I'm like, okay, look, because here's the thing, right? Like, because with her little bread bobber, you know, she throws it out there, and if she doesn't get a hit in 2 seconds, she's like reeling it in. I'm like, you have no patience or whatever. And I keep telling her, like, look, if we're going to go deep sea fishing, you realize you got to get up at like 4 o'clock in the morning. She's like, what? I'm like, because we got to be out at the ocean by six to get on the boat. And I was like, and once you go out, this isn't, I'm bored, let's go back in.
Yeah.
This is, you're out there for hours or whatever. And she's like, maybe I don't want to do it.
All right. Let me talk to her. She's still going to want to do it. Okay. You're down in Florida now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shoot. Next year, I ought to see if I can book something and have her and I will go deep sea fishing together. Because I'll tell you, she'll sit out on the boat with you. She knows that there's all kinds of stuff to see out there while you're waiting. Yeah. And somebody on that boat better be catching fish. Otherwise, you hired the wrong charter. Huh?
Right, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Like, I find the right one. About that. I wanted to go deep sea fishing. And I've been to Alaska, didn't go fishing. I've been to Mexico, didn't go fishing. I'm like, every time I've gone and had the opportunity right there and I didn't go, I'm still kicking myself.
Yeah. Well, hopefully one day we'll get her out there. But let's knock out our last commercial break, and then we'll come back and wrap this up and hit you with the three famous questions.
Sweet.
We'll be right back. Fiber has every pad you would need, including tire pads. Towels, got them. Windows, wheels, interiors, paint. The all-new Mint on a Stick for hitting taller vehicles, or the new Bug Sponge for fronts. And then we have the Dragon Wash Sponge Mitt. It's perfect for the two bucket system, glides on the cars, easy, soft on the paint. Hey, don't forget, go watch us on YouTube. Check out our channel. And then the barrel blade, it's perfect for getting in between those tight wheels, calipers. We also have the Dreadknot. It's the staple of all auto fiber towels. If you're not using it to dry, you're missing out. And then the new wheel paw for getting those faces, getting in between spokes, getting the lug nuts, all those hard to reach places. So go to autofiber.com. Make sure to use the code DSP at checkout.
Hey, everybody. Rennie Doyle here, founder of the Detail Mafia and Detailing Success. You know, I love quotes, and this is one of my favorites. It's not enough to do your best. You must know what to do, then do your best. There's a lot more to detailing than just making paint shiny. To be successful, you need to be a well-rounded detailer, and most importantly, an entrepreneur. At Detailing Success, I really take pride in that we will not only teach you the highest level detailing skills you need, but we will mentor and coach you to be a profitable business owner. Our advanced 5-day training is held monthly at my hometown, in the beautiful town, I may say, of Big Bear Lake, California. If you want to learn more, email me directly at rennie@detailingsuccess.com or visit detailingsuccess.com and ask about our special offer for our podcast listeners. Happy detailing, everybody. Take care. We'll see you next time.
All right, Portia. So now it's time for the famous three questions now. So the first one I always like to ask is, you know, when did you realize your worth? Like, when was that moment that, you know, whether it was, you know, doing a cheap ass job that you realized you needed to charge more for, or when somebody finally started asking you for your advice or your opinion and you realize, like, hey, I'm at a point, you know, whatever, or whatever it might have been. What do you think?
Yeah. Great question. I think, you know, I guess it depends on how deep to get in, but I think on one hand, that's probably something I've kind of struggled with my whole life, just growing up the way that I did. And it's funny because, like, the prelude or preface and the opening of the book that I've been writing about my life starts with, like, the big question of, like, what is the point? Like, is this all worth it? Like, where does my life hold any worth or have right. any worth? And I think that I have, I've always had, like, this feeling inside of me personally that, you know, my sharing my story of my struggles and everything that I've gone through, if it were to help even just one person believe that they could, that it would be worth telling. And so I've started writing my book a few different times now. And, you know, I keep just adding and adding and adding to it. And every time that somebody reads even just a snippet of it, you know, the response that I get back from them is, you know, that they're moved so much. Or when I share my story with people just verbally about some of the things of where I came from and you know, how I've gotten to where I have and stuff. And their responses to it being that impact that they have on themselves makes me feel like, okay, there's got to be some worth or some value here.
Right.
And I used to tell myself when I was younger that I wouldn't be put in these situations and I wouldn't be going through the things that I was going through if there wasn't a reason. And so I would always tell myself that whatever challenges came or whatever hit me or whatever was the next thing on my plate, that I would take it with a smile on my face, knowing that on the other side of it, I was going to be that much stronger and that much smarter and have that much more to give the next person that I interact with. And so I guess in that aspect, it's been, you know, just over the past, probably since 2014, when I was cleared, that I really started to feel like, okay, now that I'm cancer free and I'm, you know, still going, I guess that shows that I've got to have some kind of value or worth in this world. And
right.
On the work side of things, I think I'm still learning that. One thing that's really helped me is I told you I work basically side by side with a dent guy, and he moved just last year from Sacramento to Utah. And I had in my mind, like, I know that this amount of money is what I would like to be at, like, my hourly or whatever, you know, what I would like to aim for.
Yeah.
But I didn't have the confidence really to do it. And he just, like, all the time just is constantly like, wait, what? Like, what? That doesn't make any sense. If that's what you're worth, then that's what I mean. And he'll, you know, reinforce it all the time in me. And then when I put that you know, out as like, this is what this is going to cost, and people don't blink an eye, and then I'm like, oh, okay, like, okay, so I can do this, you yeah. know.
It's a good feeling, right? Like,
yeah. You're like, oh, so this does actually have value. And he's like, you got to pay attention to the fact that you're saving that person, you know, whatever the money would cost if they take that to a body shop. And around here, mostly you got, even if it's one panel that's severely damaged, you're about $1,600 if they're going to blend both panels and do a decent job. And so if I'm charging them my rate, that's, you know, a quarter or less of that, and it's going to look just as good as it would to the body, you know, taking it to the body shop, but they can keep that paint job intact and not have to compromise the integrity of that original paint job, then it's worth it. And so anyway, him just kind of mentoring me and reinforcing that in me really has helped. And he came from the PDR world there, where they are all about, like, these are what our prices are. Let's share it with the rest of the PDR industry. Like, let's raise everybody up. And I am like, he opened my eyes to, you know, that side of things. And it's like, yeah, why don't we all work together as an industry to make sure that we're getting paid what we're worth? And that way we don't, you know, we can put in the effort that is required to, you know, and we're saving people time. We're saving them money. We're saving them value, long-term equity in the vehicle. Like, it's a lot that we're doing, and to, you know, be able to be fairly compensated for it. Like, that's what we should all be aiming for. So, like, let's get there. So that has definitely helped.
Yeah, that would be very nice. I mean, unfortunately, this industry, you know, for all its good, sometimes is just, you know, an endless line of detailers just stabbing each other in the back, I feel like, sometimes.
Yeah.
And I hate to say that. I mean, please don't, you know, everybody take it the wrong way, but I mean, that's how it kind of is sometimes. I mean, it's, you know, it's an easy industry to get into. I mean, you can go down to Walmart and buy a chemical guy's, you know, starter bucket for $50 and call yourself a detailer. And, you know, you're doing $25 hand washes and, you know, $50 details and whatever. So, you know, it's that race to the bottom, unfortunately. And I wish more people would follow the Dave Fermani raise your prices, you know, mentality of it. Second question. This is the fun one. This is, you know, WrestleMania, Madison Square Garden fight night, whatever you're into, MMA. You're standing at the top of the ramp, you know, heading down to the ring. What's your fight song? What's the song that hypes you up and tells everybody who you are?
That is so tough. And I have been thinking, because I listened to the podcast, so I knew about this question. And I even talked to my Jared, the dent guy. I talked to him about it too. And I'm like, I have no idea what I'm going to say. I had no idea. So I have to say, I grew up pretty rough and tough. So if it were my fight song, not to tell everyone who I am, but just to get me really hyped up, kind of embarrassing, but I would play Tupac Hit 'Em Up, because that song is hard, and I feel like the biggest gangster. That would get me like hyped up. My muscles be like flexing before I even finish getting down. I'd be like, yeah, that's right. But to let people know who I am, I don't know.
I mean, it's, you know, if it gets you fired up, then who knows? Maybe it does give a little bit away of who you are, you know? You know, if that's gonna fire you up,
makes me really embarrassed. Okay, the funny thing about that is because that song is like very, very gangster, and it's very, and I don't know if you can see this at all, but on my knuckles right here, it says free hugs. That's how not gangster I am. Like, I am such like a loving, like, hippie type person, but there's still that little gangster in here.
Yeah.
that grew up really, really on the wrong side of the tracks, as they say, with a family of organized crime, and is like still deep down in there. So if I had to get pumped up to fight, I'm pulling that gangster out.
Right. No, that's good. And then the last question, this is the smartless question, which is very similar to the, you know, if the future was now or whatever. So if you could, you know, as Bewitched, Samantha did on Bewitched, if you could wiggle your nose and make your business be exactly where you want it to be today, what does that look like?
I think that, so the I would like to have multiple shops once I get the shop that I just got up and going and have all the kinks worked out of that. One of the biggest goals that I have with that with that venture is to set that up where I'm not necessarily having to be there a part of the everyday thing. I want to keep doing my side of things at the dealerships because I love the relationships I have there. I make a great living there. I really treasure that part of the business. It's hard working outside sometimes, but I really like right. it. So to get that shop up and going and have it be doing all of the automotive customizations and, you know, whether it's wraps and all of that. But one of the main focuses that I have with that shop is that because of the way that I grew up and being in foster care and seeing the rate of recidivism and just the hopelessness that you kind of have as a foster kid. And when you've been taken away from your family, no matter what your family of origin was like, it really leaves this really empty spot. And not only that, but even like with me, the way that I became homeless, you don't have anybody to fall back on. If you hit a bump in the road, then you're on the street trying to figure out how to feed yourself, went through years of having to, as a young teenager and stuff, having to steal food to put on my table for my parents. And so anyway, like you said about detailing, with it being kind of a lower entry level, I would really like to have, opportunity to bring local foster kids in and let them try some of the stuff out. Let them, you know, show them some of the ins and outs of the business and see if it's something that kind of sparks their interest. And if right. so, I would like to offer them just a little bit of a course, but just a little bit of guidance on right. maybe how they could start a business. Because just having something it seems so simple, you know, but just having something of your own that gives you that worth and that value makes it so that A, you might not end up on the streets and homeless and dealing drugs or stealing food or, you know, in and out of jail or whatever, but also gives you enough of your own value building off of yourself with that business that you have opportunity and motivation to keep on going every day. And, you know, with that business, it does have a lower level of entry, but it also has the opportunity to say, I'm going to make whatever I need to make. You yeah. don't, you have no limits as far as whatever you're, you know, motivated to go and get, you can do that, you know? And so that's one of my biggest goals with that. You know, if I could blink and have that up and going, I would be able to offer that to some of the foster care locally. And then also I would, you know, my least favorite customer, I always say, is the customer that comes to me and is like, I tried to make it better, right?
Yeah.
The DIY guy that took it too far.
Yeah.
Because isn't it so much easier to make it right first than to fix somebody else's? I watched YouTube and this is what I did.
Yeah.
Like the Brillo pad guy. So the other thing I really want to implement is once a month, we're going to offer classes so that the DIY guys can come on in totally free, no charge. And I'm going to teach the really fundamental basics on, you know, on how to buff, on how to do touch-up paint, on how to do some of these things, because you're never going to take that DIY guy and turn him into not a DIY guy, right?
Right, yeah.
But what I can do is at least give him the tools so that if he is trying to do stuff himself, he or she, sorry about that, but if the person wants to do some things themselves, at least they have a little more knowledge of what they're doing, what stuff to use, basically the steps of it. Also, maybe learn where their limit is a little bit. And then also have a person to turn to say, hey, this one is out of my league. You know, what can you do? Or who should I go to? Or right. whatever.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And, I think that's good because there are some, I don't want to say detailers that are doing that. It's kind of more of like the detail stores. You know, because yeah. I mean, you know, I'm sure Auto Geek does it, you know, there's a place here in town that does it, because I mean, obviously they sell the, you know, the DIY products or the over the, you know, you don't have to be a pro to kind of do it or whatever. So obviously it makes sense for them to hold classes or something where, you know, they can charge some money and get that. So I think that's cool that, you know, you as a detailer, as a painter would be willing to do that, because usually with detailers or painters, they're just wanting to train other detailers or other painters or other PDR guys or PPF guys or whatever. So that's a pretty cool thing. That's
yeah, neat. I would rather, instead of sitting back and shaking my finger, like, don't do it that way or don't do it that way. Cause I find myself, unfortunately, that's the one thing about TikTok that kind of sucks, is I get on and see all these, like, this is a hack. And I'm like, yeah. Don't do that. They're using like the magic eraser on their cars. And I'm just in the comments, And instead of doing that and being like sitting back sounding like this crazy old lady who's just like shaking my finger at everybody, I'd rather be like, hey, like, let's go all get together. And you know, if I would love to like find out other people that want to be a part of that too, like people, local people who are like, oh, I know how to do all this, I just don't do it in my business. Cool, come and share your knowledge too, like, you know, and not charging for it. I think we'll leave it open enough that it can be a community thing too, where it feels like people are coming together, sharing information. And you know, I'm planning on, for the grand opening of the shop, I'm going to do like kind of like a cruise in. We'll have a live music. We'll do a big pig roast and have people bring their fancy cars or whatever they have that they want to drive in and just hang out and stuff. So, you know, I don't want to just be a detail shop that opens and closes its doors to get your cars in and then it will come out looking like magic and stuff. Right. I also want to be a part of the community. So growing, like, I know I've said this a million times during this podcast, but growing up the way that I did, I don't have a lot of that feeling of community. I don't have a lot of family, you know? And I'm like, if I can create that feeling for other people in a positive way, like, I am all about that. And I think bonding over cars, that's something that I've like loved since I was little. And it's something that I think everyone can relate to on some level, but also it's kind of like, the younger generations aren't getting as much of that because they don't have the old guy sitting in this yard all, you know, like, come on over, kid, let me show you how to change your oil or what. It's a whole lot less of that. So if we can build a little bit of car community in there and like get the younger kids into it too, like, I'm all for that.
No, that's awesome. I think that's a good thing. You know, there should definitely be more of that. I think in the industry, and you know, because like you said, it just brings positivity. It shows, you know, the people how to do it, because you know, they might not realize what all is fully involved in doing a ceramic coating, like the gentleman that I had with that that disaster. We haven't talked about it in a while, but I was talking about it with Dean last night. He had a pearl white Mercedes-Benz AMG GLE 63 or whatever, and he decided to coat it himself, but apparently never watched a video. Tried to apply it like wax, so he would just slop it on and kind of drag it, so it would be, you know, quarter of an inch thick here, nothing to, you know, 2 inches over on the paint, there would be no ceramic coating whatsoever. And then left it for 6 months before he finally got tired of, because, you know, it was such thick high spots on a white car that it looked like dulled out, right? Before he finally brought it to me to get a quote on it. And I mean, I was able to cut through it and get it all kind of down and made it look right again and recode it correctly. But because he had put it on so thick in some areas, especially tops of the doors where there was runs, and then left it on for 6 months, and the solvents just ate into the clear coat, and you could see it. You know, not so much when it was out in the sun because it was white, you know, and of course, tops of the doors, that's where the sun's going to hit and wash everything out in white. But yeah, you know, maybe that guy could have, you know, he could have benefited from doing a class or a training or something like what you're talking about, and maybe been like, hey, that's above my pay grade. Like, exactly. I'd just rather pay you to do it, you know?
Yep, so. Exactly. And the thing is too, they're really saving themselves in the end. Cause after, yeah. I mean, lucky for him that it was white. So he had a lot of opportunity to not see it, but had that been like a black or a dark color.
Oh yeah. I mean, honestly, I think it was a black or dark color car. I probably would have passed on the job and told him to take it to a body shop and just have it all sanded down and repainted. But because it was white, and I knew I could cut through it. It was just going to take me time, and, you know, time is money, and he was willing to pay for it. You know, I was like, well, let's go ahead and do it. This is going to be one of those portfolio pieces. The only problem was that it was white, so it was hard to see a lot of the before and afters because you had to get the right lighting to see the dulled out spots, you know, and then I cut it down and then it's all nice and shiny or whatever. So that was the tough part for me, but it definitely was one of those. It was definitely one of those cars that, you know, it, some points during it, I was regretting taking the job, but at other times during it, I was like, okay, this is going to really show me, you know, what I'm made of, you know, and what I'm worth and being able to do all this. So, at the end of the day, it ended up being a good story to tell in the podcast every so often.
There you go. Yeah, that's great. Exactly. Yeah, those are the ones where half the time you're like, oh, why did I do this? And the other time you're like, I am God.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So then, I have.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and then you're like, I am God. And then you post it up on Facebook or somebody, and then somebody makes a comment and says, no, you're not. And it knocks you down.
Yeah. They're like, no, you didn't see this.
Yeah. Puts you back in your spot, you know.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
I was.
If anybody would love to reach out to you and maybe, you know, pick your brain on paint touch up or scratch, you know, removal or stuff like that in the detailing world, shout out all your social media or wherever anybody can find you.
Yeah, so it's just at Black Knight Auto for most all platforms. I don't do any Twitter things, but on everything it's Black Knight Auto, and Knight is spelled with a K, so it's like the knight in shining armor. So Black
Right.
Auto, and then on my personals are all just Porsche Bunny. So, and Porsche spelled with an S H. So PORSHABUNNY. So yeah, everyone can find me on those, and hopefully I'll have the touch-up gun. Really hoping, if anybody knows any machinists, I'm really, really hoping to be able to get those at a really, really affordable price, like maybe 30, 40, under 50 bucks. So if anybody knows anybody in that side of things, I've talked to a few, but I still would like to get the price down some. But yeah, for sure, anybody can reach out. That's where we're at.
That's awesome. Well, listen, go enjoy your vacation because it's still kind of early there, right?
Sorry, it's so late there.
Nah, it's fine. But yeah, go enjoy your vacation. I really appreciate you doing this. I can't wait to see you at MTE and find out how many bass you caught.
I'm gonna win.
Yeah.
If there's ties, we have a arm wrestling. So I'm like. Yeah. I'm working on my push-ups with the Sober October. I got to get these muscles up.
Nice. Oh, and that's right. Thanks for doing that with us. So how are you liking it? I got to remember to put up week 3 for you.
Yeah, you got to put that. It's kicking my butt, man. It's kicking my butt. Yeah. I didn't know it was going to be as hard as it was. I go to work and I'm like trying to bend over. I'm like, oh, Jared's like, you're doing it every day, Amal. Every day, son. Every day.
Yeah. I think we all kind of took this Sunday off because I was just like, I can't, I need a break. I did my steps on Sunday, but I took a break from the push-ups and the squats and everything. So yeah, if I forget to put it up Sunday or whatever, just shoot me a message like you did and I'll put it up for you. So, cool. All right. Well, I'll talk to you later.
Okay, thank you so much for having me on.
No problem. Anytime. We'll talk soon. Thanks.
Okay. Bye.
All right. So that was Porsche. Man, this one's almost 2 hours long. Hope you guys are still sticking around for it. I know it was probably as soon as she started asking questions about me, you guys all probably turned off, but it was interesting to hear her story. I know you guys are probably like, hang on, you skipped over the whole, like, you know, organized crime thing. Listen, that's probably going to have to be a whole episode on its own. So we'll just have to get her back for that. But I didn't want to pry too much. I didn't know like how comfortable she was talking about it, you know, getting into detail with it. So we'll just have to see about that later. All right. So you guys know the drill. Please go like, share, follow, subscribe, hit us up, hit the notification button anywhere that you are listening to us, watching us. Please go follow us on TikTok. I want that 1,000 followers so that so we can go live. Yeah. And that's it, man. I hope you guys enjoy it. Please keep listening and have a great day, night, weekend, whatever you're listening to us. We greatly appreciate it.